Today on the Fozcast, we have got Premier League goalkeeper Lucas Fabianski, fresh off of the back of a second half substitute appearance against Manchester United yesterday. We spoke about a 15-year career in the Premier League, the ups, the downs, the good, the bad and the ugly, being part of a sticky goalkeeping trio at Arsenal, which included Jens Lehmann and Manuel Almunia. How good the Spanish are at Rondo, you know, where they play the boxes and they have the possession and they just make you look like a fool, basically. Who is the better player out of Robin Van Persie or Robert Lewandowski, and the one phobia he has about being a footballer. Don't miss it. It's the Fozcast.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Right, Lucas, we have to start with yesterday. So we're filming this on Monday afternoon in London and Spotify Studios. However, yesterday I was watching Manchester United at home at Old Trafford against West Ham. Yeah. Alphonso Areola is playing the first half. Lucas, I see your lovely face, your pretty face on the sidelines watching the game. And then the second half kicks off.
Yeah.
And Lucas is in goal. And I'm going, I'm doing a podcast with him tomorrow.
He texts me going, Lucas had just come on. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
I wonder if he said we're going to come in tomorrow.
Yeah.
As the gaffer, you know, I told him, like, I'm going to do the podcast. So it would be nice to talk about something.
Yeah, we've got to get off to a good start. We need something to talk about. So so I want to start with that, if that's all right, Lucas, because I want to talk about how that feels for you. Because when you're a goalkeeper, you know if you're playing or not.
Yes.
And it's very different, the preparation that you do, in regards to if you're playing or if you're not playing. So break it down for me, how this happens yesterday and when you knew that you were going to be coming on the second half.
No, with the yesterday game was, you know, the incident in the first half with Alphonse and Kurt Zuma happened when they clashed and Fonzie got hit in the head. But then when we got in the halftime, nobody at the start, when we got the mention, anything to me that there's a possibility. So I kind of like I left to go out and then do a bit of jogging, a small warm up, normally things that you do during the halftime. And then when I was about to go onto the pitch, one of the physios ran to me and said, like, no, listen, you're actually coming on.
So you've got about 5 minutes till the kickoff of the second half.
Yeah,
here
I had
now,
to
yeah?
come back, like get changed, get ready. Then Xavi came out, the goalkeeping coach, he came out with me. And we tried to do a bit of a prep because, you know, I've just been sitting for 45 minutes more or less, even though you do the normal warm up before the game. But you sit for the 45 minutes. Then, you know, when the incident happened, like everyone from the, I think from the medical staff, they were saying on the radio, you know, no, he's okay, he's fine.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So then, like, maybe I would go and try to do warm up on the line, but they said it's fine. So they said, like,
I'm not moving. Yeah, I'm not moving. Like, I can sit here.
When you're doing, when you're going on in that 5 minutes you've got there, is it more important to get your body loose and stretch, or catch the ball a few times?
It's a good question.
To be honest with you, I think just to get the heat up of your body, so heat it up. That's the one thing. And the other thing for me yesterday, like, just gather all the thoughts and then make sure, like, mentally I'm just like set and ready. Because if you think, like, the preparation for the goalie that starts the game, and for the one that doesn't start, even though you almost try to go through everything, make all the work during the training when it comes to analysis, but then I think the biggest thing which is missing, it's like the adrenaline. Because when you're playing, you know that, I think in my case it always naturally builds up. So the day before the game, I might already start to think about, you know, what's going to happen, what can I expect the next day. when I'm not playing, I do all the prep, but this one thing is always, like, I realize this season.
The adrenaline's missing.
Yeah, it's missing.
It doesn't happen very often, does it? Ben, did you ever come on at halftime or
you
come
never,
off?
No. I did once, actually.
Oh, what, you came on or off?
In a cup match. I came on, yeah.
Okay.
It was, and I hated it. Boaz Myhill
yes.
at West Brom, and we were away at Birmingham City, and he got an injury. I can't remember what it was. Anyway, I came on.
Yeah.
I hated it. I absolutely hated it.
No, I was just, for me, it was like yesterday. It was just like, I couldn't for like a bit of time just like settle my emotions in a
yeah,
way. But,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I was calm. But it's just like so many different like thoughts. Or maybe I should do this. Or maybe I should do that. Maybe
yeah.
try to think of, I don't know, possible penalty takers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you try to quickly.
Is this where you want to? This is where you want to know that you're playing the game so
yeah,
that you can
yeah, yeah.
fully prepare
yeah,
properly
yeah.
and then you can sort of make sure that you've got a process of everything
yes,
that's
yes,
going
yes.
to happen,
yes.
might happen,
yeah.
and then you know exactly. So you go into the game comfortable
yeah.
and
yeah.
you're confident.
Yes.
But when it gets sprung on you, like
yeah.
this
it's
does...
It's so different. It's so different.
But so there were no real nerves or did the adrenaline come eventually?
No, later on. I could feel like I settled after... Probably the first goal.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the first goal, the very first touch you have, I think it is,
yeah,
is picking the ball
yes,
out the back of
yeah,
the net, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. yeah.
So what,
like
what are you thinking?
Like, no, for me, it's just like, oh, wow, okay, great.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so like, yeah, but it's just, yeah, after that, I settled. But just like everything happened so quickly and, yeah, like I said, for me, the preparation is so important. So I even said to Xavi, like, in the past that, like, I like to know things in advance.
Yeah.
So like step by step, I know I have my pattern of preparing for the games. So you know, for me, it's very important.
We've not really spoke about, I guess, the adrenaline side too much on the podcast, have we? Before, because
no.
it's taken almost like for granted that you know you play and you go on. And even as an outfield player, you know that as a substitute, there's a very high chance you're going to get
on. You're
going
to be involved at some point. Mm. Yeah.
So it's just that mental preparation, isn't it? I guess.
Yeah, I think that adrenaline bit. I think this is only something I've started to realise, kind of. In the last, I don't know, year maybe,
yeah.
is the adrenaline part of it is so important. So if you think we're kind of old footballers, older footballers sort of thing, so
yeah.
38 years old, 40
yes.
years old. And I think that for the last couple of years of my career,
yeah.
the adrenaline wasn't as high as what it used to be. Do you know what I mean? And I think whether that's like an age thing, a testosterone thing, where your levels might be a little bit lower, and I just felt like I wasn't as aggressive or
were you as up for it?
No, I don't think I was.
Okay, so maybe that's an age or is that just?
But I just think like in that case, is that like even if I think of myself, for example, from last season when you know I was playing constantly in the Premier
yeah.
League, so there games and times when maybe it's a bit of a less of it.
Yeah.
But for example, this season, because I didn't play as much, as many games, and each game that I knew I'm going to play, I think it was even like a bit
higher.
More. Yeah, higher.
Really?
So then after the games, I was like, I don't know, just felt like, wow, I'm missing this feeling so much. It's like...
You're craving
yeah. So sometimes like, you started to appreciate these emotions, you know, when you actually start to missing it a bit more, and you realize, like now in my case, that I don't play that many games, and then suddenly there's a game that I know I'm gonna play, so I'm preparing, and then suddenly the feeling and everything is just like
is that do you think that sort of that heightenedness? Do you think it's heightenedness? Sorry,
heightenedness.
I don't know if it's a word or not, but do you think that's a mixture of nerves, anticipation?
Yes.
Do you
like
think that's what it is?
Yeah, I like the anticipation. I like the nerves. I like all those feelings because I know then in my mind I'm gonna be like focused.
Yeah.
If I don't have them like feelings,
you'd worry.
Yeah, I would worry a little bit.
Is it competition element as well that you know you're in competition for the spot or you're kind of fighting for it? Because Ben, like the last few years of your career, you weren't necessarily fighting to be number one. Maybe the one season at Watford back in the Prem where Dan Backman started.
Yeah.
But when you rewind your memory back to that point, when you got back in, I think it was against Norwich away.
Yeah.
Did you have that heightened adrenaline or do you remember at all?
No, it was always, the first couple of games. It's like you say, though, Lucas, if you haven't played for a while and then you come in, it's the adrenaline. It feels like it's the adrenaline. But and like I say, I'm not sure whether it's a mixture of nerves or anticipation.
Yeah, I just said adrenaline, but like...
It's everything, isn't it? Yeah, it's everything. Yeah. And it's wanting to do well. Yeah, and as a goalkeeper, I think first and foremost, you want to do well for yourself, because every goalie knows if you've made a mistake, if you've done a good set, you know what you've done. So I think it's about yourself first and foremost. And then if that performance is good, then the manager might see it and think, yeah, cool.
I've got a question for you both then. So the older you get, right, did you understand when you were a younger player that the adrenaline and the nerves are healthy and are a good thing? Is that something you understood a little bit more as you got
later,
older?
Later. No, right. No. At the start, like, I think sometimes... Like we said, like few different emotions. One of them is excitement, and I think I wasn't able to control the excitement.
You got too excited.
Yeah, too excited.
Okay.
And sometimes you have nervousness, and I think I was sometimes as well. There were games that I was too nervous, so I wasn't able to control all of them. Like little stay in the zone, basically. So they say like don't go there and don't go there.
Try and stay in the middle.
Stay in the middle. And I think when I was younger, I wasn't able to control that. Once I got older, and I think with games as well, playing games, and as well doing some like off work pitch helped me to settle. Well,
is that psychology?
Yeah, just working with the psychologist. Yeah. I think that really helped me to find a way how to manage everything and how to be in a good zone. And then I was able to be consistent when it comes to my performance.
Yeah. That's really interesting, isn't it? Because I know you never, in your playing days, you worked a little bit with psychologists.
Yeah, a little bit.
It was never something you was part of your routine, was it?
No, it wasn't. But I wish that I would have done a whole lot more. I really do. Okay. I really do wish I'd have done a whole lot more, because I think I think now I look back at my career and I just think for the first half of it especially, it kind of just... I wasn't aware of anything.
Yeah,
I was
almost like me.
Yeah, I didn't know. Like I didn't know where I was or what I was doing, or I didn't understand what it meant. I didn't understand any of it, and I would love to have had a real important mentor in my life, like a football mentor that could have put his arm around me and said, "Right, this is happening, and that's what's going to, that's the path you're on." Yeah, that would have been incredible. I think that's so important for players.
It's almost introducing you to the right people as well, isn't it?
For sure.
I know you did have a couple of mentors in your career, but almost to say somebody a little bit older to sit down and go, speak to this psychologist, they will help you.
In my case, because like when I was at Arsenal, I had some okay spells, then some really bad spells. And then there was a new physio that joined the club, and he was...
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So basically, he looked at me from just the stats point of view when it comes to like my strength in my legs and jumping and stuff.
Yeah.
And then... When you do the preseason test, and after that he kind of looked at them and said, "Oh, like he's a decent athlete, but why he's not really performing well there on the pitch? What was the issue?" And then I think we created this relationship, and then he actually introduced me to the psychologist, and then from that moment on, actually for me everything kind of like clicked.
Really?
Yeah.
How old would you have been then?
I was then 27 or 26.
This is what I'm talking about. So the first part of your career, it's kind of like
you go with your feelings, like you go through experiences, you try to find some solutions, but they don't work. You ask different people, and I think sometimes you just have to be lucky with actually
finding, stumbling upon what works.
That goes to show how important the right staff, structure, friends, management is. If you've just got someone and pointing you in the right direction, because like you guys saying there, if you're, I think you've said in the past, Ben, you were 30 by the time you really start to feel like it was clicked. Lucas, you're 27, you were saying there. Like for an outfield player, they've got 3 or 4 years left, haven't they? You've got 3 or 4 years left.
Yeah, that's it. It's too late to discover it then. Yeah, luckily, almost, as goalies, you've got another 10 years left.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's what I'm saying is, I just feel like if I would have stumbled across or been introduced to or done some real serious work with a real sports psychologist and somebody had set me in motion of how things work and how to handle stuff. Because because I think goalkeeping is so different. It is so
when you were 25, if someone would have presented you with that person,
would you have even been open
to it?
No, you wouldn't have it, would you? You'd be like, I know.
To be honest, I was in such a dark place that I think I had almost like no other alternative.
Okay. Where is this? At Arsenal now?
At Arsenal. But I mean dark place because I was injured a lot. And when I played once per month or once per 2 months. And then when I played, I actually played bad as well.
Yeah, made mistakes.
So, you know, so I was really in a place where I need to find, you know, solution to this.
What's it like, Lucas, when you're in those bad moments and you know that you might have made a mistake last week and say you know you've got a game in another week's time or something? What is it like as a goalkeeper going through that build up to it? Are you in now or before? Because I've been in those moments myself, and it's not nice, is it?
No, I think like the worst part when I think of myself back in the day was that I was approaching the next game thinking of what happened in the last one.
Yeah.
And basically, in a way, I was thinking, do not, instead of just let it flow and see how it goes. I think the flowing part of being a goalkeeper on the pitch, I think, is really the main thing. So you don't really force things. You don't really try to engage things when you don't really have to. I think with the goalkeepers, most of the time the game comes to you and you just more or less like try to react. And in some ways, you're being proactive with your positioning. But when it comes to making saves and like crosses and things like that, I think you kind of react. You should react to things rather than just.
That's something we've spoke about a lot in the podcast, isn't it? I think it might have been with Dave Watson when we were saying like, if maybe you haven't had such a good couple of games that you start looking for things coming out for crosses that maybe you'd go no, but you're trying to force it.
It's a problem. It's a bad place to be. Regardless, it's a bad place
and
to
I
be.
And I think that can actually create like this.
It's a circle, a vicious cycle, and then
next one, and just It's not a good thing, actually, like from my experience.
Right, okay. Well, just looking here, we've got a couple of stats here because, like Ben said earlier on, whenever there's... I saw this morning that David Moyes has lost the most amount of games ever in the Premier League.
Oh, has he? I don't know that. I didn't see that one.
West Ham are seventh in the league.
Wow.
So why would that stat rear its head? It just does. But
People can make stats look however they want to.
So one of those would be that Ben has the most amount of saves in Premier League history, 1,248. In fact, between the three of us at this table, there's been 2,390 saves in the Premier League. Between the three of us.
That's a lot of saves. Yeah. That's an awful lot of saves.
But between the two of you, there's been 570 goals conceded in the Premier League.
That's a lot of Premier League goals.
So you're at the top of the charts and... The other top of the charts.
See, that's what I mean. I think I'm number one and you're number two in both of them. So I would. It works both ways, isn't it? It works both. But the thing is, I saw you coming
I'm
on.
I'm actually proud of it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. It means you've had a good Premier League career.
You've played a lot of football.
Yeah, exactly that.
So I saw you coming on yesterday and I thought, shit, he's one closer. He's one closer to my... He's got to make at least one save. He has to make at least one save. Did you make a save, actually?
I checked the stats again this morning. It is interesting because this is something I've always said before when we were talking about we do like a top 10 defenders or goalkeepers
I've seen the recent one for the
goalkeeper
honorable mention.
Thank you very much. Well, this is something you said to me before the podcast. Ben said, seriously, he said, do not even mention me. Do not even bring up my name in this. And I said to Ben, I was like, and there were people here saying, oh, you're kissing his ass. And I was like, no, if you've played in the Premier League for 400 games, 15 years, 17 years, right? There's one position.
Yeah,
there's one starting position. Yeah. You've got to be of a level because around the world, every year, there's new hot prospects, hot goalkeepers coming up. So it must be something that you're proud of to play many games.
I'm very proud of it. Like, if you think, especially even of the league, of the Premier League itself, almost every club can afford
anything.
Any goalie that they
absolutely
want. And to actually be here for so many years. Yeah. I'm not only saying about playing, because I played... more or less like 10 seasons-ish, something like that.
357 Premier League appearances.
But then when it comes to me being in the Premier League, I'm from 2007 being involved in this league. So I think That's yeah. I'm proud of it.
Do you want to know one stat that you're top of? And I know you know this.
I know this.
I know this. Go on. What stat are you top
penalty,
of?
Yeah.
Penalty
yeah.
saves. Yeah. There most you go. Penalty yeah. Most penalty saves. Yeah. Lukas Fabianski, 11.
But then, can I say something?
Yeah.
There were like few missed as well. Like so, there were like.
Oh, a few were missed, not saved.
Missed. And there okay. were like two penalties retaken because of me advancing.
So hold on. What are you saying? You should be on 9 here.
More.
Take it.
Oh, what do you mean? Yeah. No, you mean they've missed some off the list?
Missed. Yeah. No. Missed. They went white. They went white. So I didn't save them.
This is, I'm not happy with this because I'm on 9. I'm in joint second with Aurelio Gomez.
Okay.
On 9. Right?
But I have 2 retaken against me. I saved Aguero and I saved Klich. So I would have extra
13
2.
Them.
So if it wasn't for VAR, I would have.
Yeah, if it wasn't for VAR, your difference. Wrexham one might have.
Yeah. It's all right. I don't mind. I'll let you have that
what
one.
About the, okay. What about the stat we saw the other day, Ben? Actually, you Which could one? Not believe it. Was it Brad Friedel? How many consecutive games he played?
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
Was it three? Was it something like 8 seasons?
It's something like 8 seasons of consecutive football playing, not missed a minute. Not missed a minute.
How hard is that for a goalkeeper to do that?
No, that's crazy.
That's ridiculous. That'll never be beaten, will it?
Yeah, that's crazy, yeah. To actually do not miss the game, it's impossible.
Well, how do you manage to do that? How does, because you've, like I say, you've had a fantastic career, 360 odd Premier League appearances. What is the key to being that longevity? What is the key to that?
No, for me, just I'm really keen on the physical preparation. So it's like, again, coming back to the physio that came to Arsenal, yeah. He kind of introduced me as well to way of preparing my body for a week, for a game. So I've, since that moment as well, like I've been so keen on making sure that like physically I'm ready, I'm on it, as well like managing the rest and things like that. So yeah, that moment was crazy for me.
Really?
So it changed. It really
That's
changed the way.
Point,
it really changed the way I approach everything. Even though I thought like I'm professional and I've always been. But the way he then like introduced me to all the little bits, like making sure that I do my strength in the gym, then I do my power, then I do my like, you know, core working on my shoulders because I had injuries there as well. So it's just making sure and like.
Touch wood, it worked.
Yeah, yeah.
But it sounds to me like it's not just showing you these exercises and showing
you
what
you have to be. Yeah, yeah.
It's showing you how to sort of own it as well.
Yes.
Showing you that this is a lifestyle now, that you need to adopt this and you will be successful. And that's what it's about mainly, isn't it? It's not about just going, this is how you do it. It's, no, this has to become your life now.
Yeah,
Lucas.
That's like part of like, actually like part of my prep almost every week. Even though even now I'm not playing, I'm still like being consistent when it comes to my work in the gym. Yeah, so.
Ready for when you're away at Old Trafford and you need to get put on
in
the drop.
But I wasn't expecting that many, my head to react like that. Really, I was like, wow.
It's interesting though, isn't it? Like I'd say, I love it. I love even just talking about that. Like, how do you react when you're away at Old Trafford? You know, it's on Sky Sports. You know, there's 100...
No, to be honest, like I never, like you say, Old Trafford and Sky Sports.
You don't think about
that? I never think about
really?
It. It's funny because, like, even when we had a meeting yesterday with the team, and Gaffer has mentioned
it's
Old
Trafford.
Yeah, and I'm in my head, I'm thinking, why he doesn't say it's Selhurst Park or Craven Cottage? He has to say this when it's Old Trafford. So in my head, I'm thinking like, no, it's just that like...
It's a game of football.
It's a game of football and the size of the pitch is basically the same.
Yeah.
So why like focus on things that are really not important?
I like it, yeah.
So for me, like, I never really thought of the game is live on TV, the game is, I don't know, the big or small stadium. No, for me, it was just...
It's like you say, it's just that trying to stay in the middle bit, isn't it? Not trying to get too high.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter
if
it's a cup final or if it's a whatever it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Treat it the same.
I heard an interview with you last week, Lucas, and you were saying about, I think the person interviewing was saying, oh, I'm still angry from the game at the weekend. And you said, no, like that's, and you've always been like that. And I think this is, sometimes we spoke about it in the past where the fans might not relate to you kind of going, no, we've lost.
Yeah.
Park it. Training tomorrow. Not be emotional, on to the next one.
Yeah.
Is that something you've always been like, or again, as you got a bit older?
No, with the age, yeah. No, before, I would be a bit more emotional about it, but for some time now, it's not that like, how do you say that? I still like somehow, go through maybe small different emotions, but then I don't really carry that on.
It's gone quicker.
And have you ever been one for kind of looking at match reports, social media, Instagram?
No, not really. The main thing for me was always the goalkeeping coach. I always had a really good relationship with the goalkeeping coaches, and for me always that was the main person that I would go to, and we would go, you know, through things, what happened in the previous game, and just...
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about, actually, because there was something, I was listening to a podcast that you did, and you were talking about the dynamic between goalkeepers, and there's a couple of questions I've got for you in a minute. Firstly, though, I've got a quick story about your current goalkeeper coach, Xavi Valero. So back in 2005, I signed for Wrexham, okay? Yeah. It was my first time signing for the club, only on loan for the last, I don't know, 2-3 months of the season, whatever. However, at that time, they had just signed a big sort of frizzy-haired Spanish goalkeeper called Xavi Valero, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And
okay.
However, it didn't quite work out very well for Xavi, okay? So he played 4 games. He was signed as an emergency kind of signing, really. He played 4 games, and it's fair to say he had a bit of a stinker, you know. Wrexham were having a tough time.
What was that, League One?
Yeah, they were down the bottom of the league, and they were losing, and he had a bad four games. Let's just put it that way, anyway. So much so that they basically terminated his contract.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
And they signed me instead. So that is where my career kind of like...
Okay.
I hate to say where one career finished.
Yeah,
So you'd got a lot to thank Xavi Valero for, Ben. Is that what you're saying?
So we played against West Ham a couple of years ago, right? And I remember Xavi kind of saying... His English is really good. He's great.
No, because his background is a bit of like English...
Oh, really? Yeah.
Well, I know his wife is teaching English.
Yeah, well, his English is really good. But I remember it was like half time or something anyway. And he's come up to me and he said something about it. And I kind of was so focused on the game anyway. I didn't really think about anything. And then anyway, it wasn't until like, I don't know, 6-7 months ago or whatever, I kind of realised. And I thought, that's who it is. That's Xavi Valero.
The
West Ham goalie coach. Was the guy that I... Because I just remember coming in and them going, oh, yeah, he's had a bad time. And I'm thinking, oh, poor bloke, like, never mind. But, yeah, that's where it comes from. So you can give him a bit of abuse for that anyway. Then that leads me on to... there's a lot of talk at the minute about having two first-team goalkeepers, okay? So Brighton do it with Jason Steele and Verbruggen. And then it's been sort of talked about with Arsenal as well, with Aaron Ramsdale and David Raya, and Mikel Arteta saying that it's almost like his dream, basically, to bring a goalkeeper on in the 60th, 70th minute for whatever that match dictates is needed at that moment in time. I just wanted to get your opinions on this, actually, as a goalkeeper, a current goalkeeper. If that was happening at your football club, how you would deal with it?
Well, I don't know. But I don't think, like, for the goalkeeper, I don't think it's an ideal situation. Yeah. I think as a goalie, you would always want to have this feeling that, you know, it's yours.
Yeah.
And it's yours to lose as well.
Yeah.
So I think you make sure that, you know, you respect your position and you make sure that you keep your position. I think there's a bit of, like uncertainty left there somewhere in the air, by saying we have two number ones, I think there's in some way you're always going to affect you.
I think I agree with you. It's like if you're the first choice goalie, you have so much pride, right?
Yes, knowing
that you're that first choice goalkeeper. You're the guy defending the net on a Saturday afternoon. So when you walk out and you see your fans and you give them a little clap, it's like, I'm going to work for you today, guys.
Yes,
I'm going to help you out.
Yeah.
And you have that pride, don't you, within you to go, no, I'm going to give you, and like I say, I'll take one in the face, I'll take one in the
knackers. No, but it's like that.
I'll do whatever it takes. But if there's that uncertainty, you're always thinking, do the fans want him in goal today?
Yeah, kind of like, it depends as well on the, I don't know, how do they rotate the goalies, but I think in Arsenal case, it's been said that they're two number ones, but if you look at the games that they played, it's a clear number one.
Is that something like last season, Lucas? Look at, obviously, with winning the Conference League.
Yes.
Is that something where at the start of the season you knew that you were playing in the league and Alphonse was playing in the cup competitions or the Europe?
Yeah, that kind of happened the year before, really.
Yeah,
because when Fonzie joined us on loan first, and basically, I played all the Premier League games. He played all the cup games, and that kind of carried on.
Yeah.
And this year we
swapped.
Yeah, we swapped. Yeah. So, I think it's been always in a way official. But I think in our case, it's, you know, it's a different competition. It's not like in you rotate in the Prem, like, for example, like Brighton does with the goalies. In our case, I think Fonzie playing in the Prem, it's clear that he's now the number one, you know, keeper for the club. So in a way, I kind of understand the situation. I'm just trying to make sure that I prepare well for the games.
But I guess because West Ham are obviously in Europe last season, like with Alphonse and with yourself this season, I guess that it's different to years ago. Like, you're still going to play a good amount of football this year, like Alphonse did last season.
He played, what, 18 games or something? 20 games or something.
Fonzie played a lot of football, decent number.
A lot of games, didn't he? Big cup run, a lot of games in Europe.
Because I remember we had to play as well, like qualifiers for the... have like two extra games, so...
July, back in July for games, it's horrible. Yeah, that Europa League, honestly, is a stinker, that it is. And how did that transition for you go then at the start of this season when goalkeeping transition?
I wasn't prepared for this transition. You know, like, I found out so late, because almost like the day before the game.
First game of the season.
Yes. So at the start of it, I was like, really upset about it. I wasn't like ready and prepared to actually hear that information, but at the same time, I don't know, it took me a few weeks to actually like process it and then make sure that basically, you know, I just focus on my work, I focus on the games I'm gonna play and do my best, really, because, you know,
it is what it is.
That's like, you know, there's always manager's decision. You can do whatever you can, your best, and everything, be consistent and everything, but, you know, managers wants to make that decision. So me as a player, you know, I'm just a player.
Yeah.
So my job is basically to perform well on the pitch, and that's all I can do.
Yeah, I love that, man, mate. Right, we're going to talk about a few of your current West Ham teammates, if that's
all right.
What
about the past?
All right, yeah, before we talk about some of your current teammates, your current West Ham teammates, I want to talk about one of your past teammates, okay?
Fabregas.
No, not Fabregas.
Robin Van Persie?
Has he won the Ballon d'Or?
No.
We can talk about him in a minute.
Legend himself.
Yeah, I want to talk about Craig Dawson, okay? So I've been teammates with him for years. I know what he's like as a guy. You've played with him. You've been with him. You shared a changing room as well. Talk to me about Craig Dawson.
I don't know what else. No, it's a great guy. Seriously, like a great pro, that's for sure. Very, how should I put it? Efficient when it comes to performing on the pitch.
Yes.
Very efficient. But like, you know, the way he is as a defender, the communication level with him was always like amazing. I really enjoyed, like, when there's a defender in front of you that always like, you know, tells you what to do to other defenders. You always have this feeling like you have a really good relationship. And off the pitch, funny.
He's a funny guy, isn't he? Yeah, he's such a weirdo, isn't he?
But he asked me actually, you know, because he texted me first, if he can pass on the number to you, and then he said something like, but please
don't kill me
don't say too much about me, so let's keep it that way.
Poor old Dawson.
But you know, like, I would just want to clarify one thing, because he always tells me I'm his favorite goalkeeper. I'm pretty sure he tells you the same thing.
He does tell me the
same. So I would like to clarify, you know, who is his actual favourite goalkeeper?
Weasel.
Mate, he is playing so well.
Craig Dawson is one of the most underrated defenders ever. in the Premier League.
Look at the little things
that
he does on the pitch, especially against like the best strikers, forwards.
How small he can.
I think the only minus, I hope he doesn't like, it's like, you know, there's like a sharp turn and somebody like runs past
him. He's getting old now,
I think,
mate.
That's that. But other than that, he's such a good defender.
I think he was at it again at the weekend. Like, some of the balls he plays.
On the ball as well.
He can really hit a pass, can't he?
Really underrated player. Always has been and probably always will be as well.
Should we talk about some current West Ham?
Let's go for some current West Ham players then.
One question I wanted to ask is, please tell me that you don't have to go and goal for James Ward-Prowse free kick practice. Please tell me it's an academy goalie that just has to get put in goal.
To be honest with you, he only has practiced like a couple of times I've seen him practicing.
He just does it on a Saturday?
I don't know, because he hasn't scored yet, like for us from the free kick. Yeah. So he has a bit of a stinker when it comes to, he seems very consistent when it comes to, when I watch him taking set pieces in training. not only free kicks, but all the corner kicks and everything. It's like very consistent, great balls.
If you were playing on the opposition team and you were playing against James Ward-Prowse, yeah, and he's about to whip one in, and you've been on the opposition team.
But it happened. It's funny, but like he hasn't scored against me from the free kick, but once he had one like on the edge of the box, and he went goalie side, but he missed it. I didn't say he missed it. And I celebrated like,
yeah,
like,
it's true though, isn't it?
I was like, yeah, come on.
Like there was a point in time where a James Ward-Prowse free kick 20 yards from goal almost 50-50.
Yeah,
wasn't
it?
It was like,
and it was really like, you know, normally like the free kick right on the edge of the box, it's so hard to
up and down.
But he's able to do it.
Because from that distance, I'd say the 20 yard one for a goalie is the worst, because if he does get it up and down over that wall, it's probably a goal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because your reaction time from the ball leaving to going in the back of it is less than a second.
It's
ridiculous. So you aren't going to save it, and you don't get view of it until it's gone over that wall as well. But he is the master of that as well,
crazy,
isn't he?
Yeah, he's
but
so good.
It's good
about
to
it.
Know that he doesn't even practice it. It's just something that comes naturally.
I guarantee you,
he tells everybody he practices all the time. It's just down to practice and hard work and staying behind late and bag of balls over my shoulder and all that kind of stuff. Jared Bowen, somebody else who's also appeared on the Fozcast. Lovely bloke, by the way. Absolutely lovely. And proper striker.
Yeah. Like proper bowler, like in a way. Like strong, powerful, direct.
Yeah.
He can take you on as well. Like finishing, like so good. I think he has improved so much when it comes to finishing. His left and right foot as well. Like he works so hard on it. He's so good. Really, really good.
When you say striker, obviously he's been playing. Would you say now,
he's a striker?
Is he a striker now?
Yeah, at the minute he is, yeah.
No, but like next season, let's say that West Ham have a really successful transfer window, for example. Is he going to be playing up front for West Ham?
Maybe.
I think it depends, because I think this season it happened because of Mikey Antonio injury. And we needed someone to, and I think Jazz is almost like ideal.
He's good
for
to
that.
Go. He can fill in. But either way, even if he doesn't start in that position, the fact that he's playing there now just adds a little bit more to his game, doesn't it? He becomes a more of a rounded front player. That's what the beauty of
Would
this
you
is
have
right
him
now.
In your England squad next season? For the Euros, sorry.
It's such a competitive position.
It's hard, isn't it?
It's really hard.
He's going to have to go by form. Surely we're going to get towards the end of the season.
Yeah, but he's so, like, for us, this season he's been so good.
Yeah.
Really good.
But you know what it is? It's very similar to, like, Ollie Watkins, is his work rate and his
endeavour. Even off the ball things
that he does. To work hard and want to go and get the ball and want to score and want to get
like
on the end
Lucas
of everything.
He's very direct. He'll straight line it.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. Without doubt. A couple of West Ham questions then. Who are the jokers in that West Ham change of
room? Ooh, jokers. Kurt Zuma is a good joker. Ingsy, Kress. There's a small group of like Ingsy, Kress, Prowsey.
English.
Yeah, English. But you know, it's within their group, you know?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
like they're gonna, they're spreading the jokes around.
They just keep it in-house.
So they're a funny group, really funny.
Who is the first guy into the changing rooms every day?
I'm there like early in the mornings. Ingsy is there early in the mornings. Like the English lads.
You called yourself an English lad then, yeah.
Yeah, I would say. I'm sometimes with them, you know. It depends on my,
You
like
are.
On the bus, I'm still just sitting right behind them. So I think they. Yeah.
You're like an honorary English
kind
lad.
Of, yeah.
I like it though, yeah, I like it. Most likely to throw their dolly out the pram. Do you know what that means?
So like just.
Yeah. Oh, lose
have a tantrum.
It. Do you know if like they're losing
tantrum.
The six-a-side or something? Or
Angelo.
Bonner.
Yeah. He just starts talking, you know, in Italian.
Throwing the hands around.
Yeah, just like, no, he just starts, maybe doesn't do this, but he just starts talking in Italian. Like, but he's like great lad. Don't get me wrong. He's a great lad, hard worker as well, like good pro. But yeah, he has this, you know, Italian thing. When
and
he's not happy, he was just like,
First one to throw his dolly out the
Who's
tram,
the
like
strongest
it.
In the gym?
Oh. Strongest in the gym?
That's anyone throwing the iron around?
No, like, I've heard, I'm not, I haven't seen him actually, like, lifting weights and things like that, but I've heard that Lucas Paqueta is very competitive when it comes, like, because every now and then we do... know, like the testing. So how much, I don't know, power we can generate and things like that. And apparently Lucas is very competitive.
Just strong in everything.
Yeah, so he wants to do always, like when you check your groins, when you check,
he wants to beat the record.
He wants to beat the record, you know, hammies and things like that on the Nordic. So he always tries to, I'll give him.
On the Nordic, can I explain the Nordic machine? By the way, the Nordic machine is the worst machine ever invented. It is disgusting, isn't it? It's basically a hamstring test kind of thing. So you get on your knees and you have like these hooks that go behind your knee, isn't it? And then you have to, it's almost like you've got to try and fall flat on your face, but stop it as long as you can.
With your hamstrings only,
You're just using your hamstrings. Yeah. And it is, I wouldn't do it. I'd never do it. I'd refuse to do it for like the last 5 years, 10 years of my career, because I knew I would just, because I'm competitive as well. I'd be saying, what's the highest score? And I would try to compete, because I'm long, I would 100% just rip.
Always the players that are like, shorter.
Yeah, the
shorter always get the best scores,
Exactly, but it's a brutal machine, and then you have one trying to, it's horrible. It's an absolutely horrible machine.
Okay. Right, next one then. Who would win in a 100-meter sprint in the West Ham team? Straight line, off you go.
Jazz?
Yeah.
I think Jared, yeah.
Really?
I don't know who was.
Who's your fastest?
Mikey is good to like the first few meters, but I think for the longer, like
he'd slow down.
Yeah. He wouldn't
have. He'd pull a hamstring as well, either. Sorry, Mick.
Jared then.
I'll go with Jared.
Yeah, I'll go with Jared. And then alternatively, if it was a marathon, who's winning the marathon?
Thomas. Sochuk.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, easy.
Engine.
Big engine.
Easy.
Is he a good guy? Because he looks like
great
nicest,
guy.
Very
good guy.
Good, I'm
very
glad
good,
you said
very
that.
Very good person.
I'm good, I'm really glad you said that. Yeah. Can I talk, we're going all over the shop here, and I hope you're all enjoying this, by the way, because Lucas Fabianski is the man. I'm so looking forward to today. I really am. Like, podcast
can I say something, like, little prop to you as well? Because like every time when I played against Ben, he was always like, before the game, how are you? And I was like, all good, like very, I'm there focused, so he's always
used to just think that you thought I was an arsehole or something.
Because I'm like that on the, you know, on the match. I'm always like very like focused and boom. But he was always in the town. How are you? Like,
go away, Ben.
No. It was like, it was cool because like not many goalies actually do that. Yeah,
no, nobody really just talks like, nowadays, do
they? So I always enjoyed that.
It's because I'd heard so many good things about you. Everybody had always said, Lucas is the man, you know, what a guy, what a goalie. And I always, as a goalkeeper as well, specifically, I always loved watching you as a goalie. Aww. Proper goalie, that's what
Cheers,
I would call you, Lucas.
Cheers.
Right, let's stop with the goalkeeping coaching now.
No, let's talk about some other goalkeepers. I want to talk about Polish goalkeepers in particular because there is, for some reason, a serious, serious amount of Polish goalkeepers that have done unbelievable things. So I'm just going to name a few off for you so you can talk about whoever you want. So you've got Arta Boric, who you were with as a kid, Wojciech Szczesny, Thomas Kuszak, Bunglehead, I call him, by the way. we used to have a cartoon it wasn't a cartoon, it was like a kids show in England called Rainbow, and there was this one character we'll put it on the screen now, called Bungle, and his head was massive and it was like blondish hair, and I used to just say,
do you know that he's now assistant to a goalkeeping coach in national team?
Is he really?
Yeah.
Thomas Kuszak. I used to like Kuszak, you know. I got some funny stories about Thomas Kuszak.
I bet.
He was a great guy, though, to be fair. So that's why I called him Bungle, anyway. Obviously, yourself, you got Bartosz at Millwall, Bielkowski. And then, obviously, Jerzy Dudek. That's the serious
But I think the Dudek, he was like the inspiration for
them ones coming through.
Because I think after he signed for Liverpool, almost like, a lot of the kids in Poland wanted then to be our goalies.
Wow.
Because he was like the main guy, playing for one of the biggest clubs in the world.
You think about that Champions League final save as well. Yeah. Do you remember that save?
Yeah, the one, that almost double save.
Shevchenko, where he just stood up, stuck his hand up.
And then went...
it's ridiculous. If that goal goes in, it's game over.
It's from here.
It's there. Yeah, it's Shevchenko as well.
Like, here's the goal line. Here's the ball. Like, crazy. So he was like inspiration, I think. For me personally, I had a poster of him in my room. So he was kind of like, if he made it, then probably any of us can actually
Be
in the Prem. So, Arthur, special guy.
Lovely guy, right?
Crazy guy, like for the goalie, like so different, I would say, in a way, when the way he was, I don't know, preparing himself and like just different, but just natural ability and like physical ability, like just like animal.
A
like
little cat. He was a cat. He was a genuine cat. He was a cat. He was like reactive.
At his peak, he was amazing.
And like, you were at Legia Warsaw with him, right?
Yeah. So when I signed for Legia, he was there, and I was with him for like 6 months. So he was number one goalie. And I remember when I signed for them, they told me that there's a big chance of him leaving in the summer. So you have your 6 months of prep, doing well, playing for the second team, and if you do well, then we give you an opportunity. And from that moment on, actually, Legia follows this kind of path.
That's what they do.
Yeah, that's what they do. So they sold one goalie to, after me, to Everton. I don't know if you remember Slovakian goalie, Jan Mucha.
Yeah.
So they sold him to Everton.
Mucha, M-U-C-H-A.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Then another Polish lad they sold to Monaco for like, you know, so very successful.
Yeah. Line of goalkeepers.
Yeah, line of goalkeepers. Yeah, Szczesny as well.
Proper. But saying all that, so we're talking about some of these incredible Polish goalkeepers. Yourself, playing for Poland, 57 mm-hmm. Polish caps.
Yeah.
That's some going, mate. That's some career for the national team.
Yeah, and at the same time, I really was facing a lot of competition at the time. Because my first call-up was actually with Dudek.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah, and I subbed him like in the 80th minute or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
For your debut?
Yeah, for my debut.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so good, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that was, yeah. So yeah, I was competing later on with Artur Borut and with Wojciech Szczesny.
We actually did a podcast with Aaron Ramsdale, and I asked him which player has had the biggest effect on him as a goalkeeper, so like somebody to learn from basically. And he actually said it was Artur Borut. He said what Artur taught me was to basically just not really care too much about the ramifications.
That sounds very like Arthur.
He said, honestly, I used to watch Arthur, and he said, I remember him making a mistake.
He was so good at
it. He came in at Arthur and went, sorry, lads. And like almost just sat down just to say, like, if anybody says anything, I'll go, I'm not trying to make a mistake, okay? I'm not trying
but
to.
But Arthur was so good at it.
Really?
That was one of his strengths. But I think it was something natural. I know that he worked with the psychologist at one point as well, but I think he was like so good, like naturally good at just letting go of things and making sure that, you know, I'm focused on the next thing.
This is it, isn't it? Coming across all these people in your career life, and you learn little bits, don't you?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You just pick little bits up from all over the place.
Yeah. And then if we kind of roll back the years to when we were talking earlier on about being nervous and exciting and all these things. So signing for Arsenal in, 2007?
Yeah.
Right? And we alluded to it earlier on, but we have Thomas Frizicky, William Gallas, Gilberto Silva, Alex Song, Theo Walcott, Kleb, RVP, Fabregas.
Yeah.
When you sign there and you walk through the doors, Arsene Wenger's the manager, you must have been nervous, scared, or rolled into one, right?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I was a kid from Poland, really. I wasn't like... It's such a big jump from Poland, Polish league, to suddenly joining one of the biggest clubs in the league and then in the world. So for me, I was just like a bit like inside my shell for a bit of a time before.
Who were the goalies then at Arsenal?
Jens Lehmann.
Oh, wow. Big, scary Jens.
Yeah, Manuel Munia was there.
Oh, you would have seen that little dynamic between them
two. That was a little dynamic. That was a proper dynamic.
Is that the word, dynamic?
That spicy dynamic.
I think that's how you try to avoid to, you know, maybe saying something.
Yeah. As a young kid, you just got to stay away from it all.
Like, for me, because like, I was coming from... I was still young, but like the relationship that I've had before back in Poland with any other goalies was always like, you know, decent.
Yeah.
And suddenly, like, I'm in this position when I just look at two, you know, completely different characters, like almost like, you know, like they, I don't know if I should say it, but they didn't really speak to each other, you know, like
it was that's so awkward, isn't it?
That was so awkward. Yeah. Yeah. So, Big learning experience.
Do you know when it's like that? And I've only had a few myself. I've only had a few of those occasions where it's a little bit awkward and it's like butting heads a little bit. But everything is under the microscope. So when the goalies go into their training and the practice, and like the goalies normally take turns in shooting. So the goalie coach will serve, but then the other goalies will like do a secondary shot from the edge of the box at an angle or something like that. And if you know there's a bit of needle between the two goalkeepers, you're watching it going, go on, score. Because if he scores, you're thinking he knows he's got one up on him, and it's just, you're watching it all unfold.
With that dynamic, isn't that where, when you talk about the server, who goes first and everything, isn't this where you need the manager or the goalkeeper coach to sit down and go, you
yeah.
are this
yeah.
and you are this.
Exactly.
But that doesn't always happen, right?
No, it doesn't always happen.
I mean, no, because I think Jens, you know, he was part of the Invincible team.
Yeah.
Great experience with national team as well. I think he finished like third, and I think he really felt like his position is like...
That's him. I'm top of the tree. I'm yeah, everything
I'm
in
really
this team.
I'm really top of the tree, so like, I'm in charge more yeah. or less sometimes. Yeah. So that's how we felt.
And in your first season, I think, Almunia played every league, yeah, yeah, every league game.
Yeah, because Jens got injured at the start of the season. He missed a few games and Manu did really well. And yeah. then when Jens got fixed... Like,
he thought he was going to go back in.
Yeah, and...
It didn't work like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the manager just, he stick with Manu, yeah. So I think that added even a bit more.
Oh, yeah. I don't even like talking about
yeah,
it.
No,
like,
your yeah. toes are curling.
Honestly,
them.
I'm crossing
and
my legs.
I was there somewhere like in the middle, like, you know.
Just watching it
yeah,
all
just
happen.
Just watching and well, trying
let's,
to.
Let's talk a bit more positively then. Yeah, so when you, young guy, going to Arsenal, who were the players that you kind of watched on the training ground and just thought, wow, you are that next level? Was there anyone in particular?
So I tell you, like the very first player that I was so impressed with was actually Gael Clichy, left back.
Yeah, yeah.
He had so much energy, like running up and down, up and down. I was like, geez. And it was only like in the preseason games. And I was like, what the heck? So I was so impressed with him. Apart from obviously having like players like Fabregas, Thomas Rosicky, Schlepp, I think and Flamini, I think this midfield as well at the time. Because I think until the incident with Eduardo happened against Birmingham,
yeah.
I think we were like top of the league, really. Yeah. And I think that really had a big impact on us in some way that we were not able to almost like win the league. But before that moment, the midfield was crazy.
That is big midfield, though.
But it was like the way they were popping the ball and like just playing in behind to the striker. Like crazy. It was so easy. They made it look so easy.
Now, how good was Fabregas? You got
no, Cesc was like, I mean, you know, it's funny because his brain was just different. The passes that he could see and like play at the same time is amazing. Really
I sometimes
good.
Feel a bit sorry for Fabregas in the fact that...
He's not being like, well, Mesh?
No, in the fact that like... In his national team, you've got Xavi and Iniesta. Oh, and it was always like Xavi, Iniesta, then Fabregas.
Oh, he don't even get mentioned in the same breath, really.
No,
he?
No, this is what I mean.
Doesn't.
And like anyone you speak
for Arsenal,
to.
Like at that time, he was like, seriously, that midfield probably was the best midfield I've ever like seen live playing.
Really?
You had a young Jack Wilshere coming through.
Yeah, yeah, Wilshere later on, yeah, as well.
Was Cazorla there with you?
Later on as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, another like great guy and great player.
Those
like
little,
amazing.
Those little like Spanishy ones. Honestly, until you do like a rondo with them, right? Until
really?
you know the
boxers. They're so happy as well. Like
they love
like
it.
With the football. And yeah, it's crazy.
It is. It's a different culture of of the way they're brought up with a football. It's completely different. Like if you get them in, so the rondos, it's like the boxes basically. It's like there'll be what 10 players, 8 players on the outside,
yeah,
and you'll have 2 players in the middle chasing around trying to get it. And this is where you see all the clips on the internet of people trying to meg people
stuff
like that. But if you get in a Spanish box, right?
Oh my God!
Really?
Yeah,
it's game over, mate. You went touching the ball. I promise you. If you find yourself in the middle, well, I wouldn't even
with
go
the Spanish.
I wouldn't even go in a Spanish box. It's not even a thing because they would make me look a fool. They would meg me for fun, and they would just be going, "Hey, ole, ole."
Yeah, yeah.
But they are so quick with their feet and the passes they see.
Wow,
it's just better than anyone else, isn't it? It's phenomenal.
It is true. Yeah, it is true.
Right, I've got to ask you a question, and I want an answer from this one.
Yeah, okay.
If you don't mind,
easy.
Robin van Persie or Robert Lewandowski?
Oh, wow. Robin, Robs.
I remember before, like, somebody asked me this and I went with Robin and I think in Poland it created a bit of a, like...
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
so
we'll say Robert then.
No, I really like Robin. I don't know. For me, he was so intelligent. Like, no, Levy is as well, like, you know, great player. But I think...
He's a goal machine, though.
He's
like
a goal machine,
isn't he?
But Robin, I think, I don't know, maybe he had a bit of, like... extra dimension to his game.
Cool. Yeah, he had a bit more, and that sounds bad. We're talking about Robert Lewandowski.
Yeah, yeah.
He was just a bit more creative, would you say, Robin?
He had culture. You could see the way that he ran
with the
ball.
I think the Robin issue was that he was a lot of times, not a lot of times, but he was injured like a few times for a longer period. So he had like 2 or 3 years in the Prem when he was like unbelievable.
Untouchable,
and I think when he was like at this, at his peak, I think, he was like...
He was above most people, weren't he?
Yeah,
I totally agree with that, to be fair. It's a good way of
putting it. But it's only because he had like 2 or 3 years like really, really good. I think with Levy, the other bit is that he has done it for many years.
Yeah. Oh,
but I think Robin, when he was like at his very best, I think, yeah.
Well, we did that. We did that podcast with Rio, didn't we, Ferdinand? And he said, we said the one player that genuinely surprised you when they signed for the club, and he said Robin van Persie. Yeah. He said he was the one player who
he said he added levels.
He raised the level in training. Yeah. Alex Ferguson, he said, we signed him, and Alex Ferguson came and spoke to all the senior players and said, we've signed Robin, but he is, just watch this player go. And he said, and everybody was blown away by how good he was.
But he was so intelligent, like with the runs and like the way he was finishing, like his touch and understanding what the goalkeeper might do as well.
Yeah.
So good.
That's a big part of it. There's so, like I said, we spoke, didn't we, before the podcast, and we were talking about, I said basically every goal that goes in on a Saturday afternoon, you can... Like, you can look and analyse a goalkeeper, and you can talk about what they could have done better or should have done better, or what position they could have possibly been in. They might not have saved it, but they could have possibly been in a better position. And that's it's pretty much factual, isn't it? You can do that with every goal. Genuinely, you can. And then you can also look at strikers, and you can look at, if you slow it all down properly, body language. You can look at their eyes.
Yeah.
Their eyes are the biggest telltale of everything. Absolutely everything. We spoke about it on the football fill-in this morning, Lucas.
Yeah.
So Arsenal played Liverpool yesterday.
Yes.
And William Saliba is trying to shepherd the ball back to David Raya.
Yeah.
Not once did William Saliba look at David Raya.
If William Saliba
would have looked at Raya, Raya would have known what he is trying to do.
Yes.
And he would have been able to come out and smother the ball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But because he didn't look, that one little tiny thing that might seem completely innocuous, it might not mean anything, but it means the world, doesn't it? You, as a goalie, you pick them tails up from looking at strikers.
Doss was so good at it.
Like. He would give you everything. Yeah, he would expose. Yeah. He would show, open his body, look at you, everything to let you know what he's going to do. That's why
I love playing with him.
That's brilliant. That's good insight, that is, chaps.
Yeah, it's true.
Right, so then just a little bit about Arsene Wenger, really. Okay. How was he with you? And
no, with me, he was like, if I think now, I think he was so good with me. You know, we didn't really have like a, I don't know, big relationship when it comes to chatting a lot and talking about the situation or like my position, things like that. But I think with me, he was so patient because I had really like some bad periods. And I think any other club, any other maybe manager, he would just say, no,
done,
next one. And with me, I think he never really like said that to me, but I think he had believed that at one day, I'm just gonna, you know,
blossom.
Like, blossom in a, So I think now I understand with the years that, he had really like, and I think I'm grateful and thankful for that he actually stuck with me, even though there were some really bad moments and I had really some bad injuries and my performances levels were like really bad.
Yeah.
But he stuck with me. He had this trust and so I'm always going to appreciate, you know.
I think the way you talk about Arsenal, it sounds to me like, yeah, obviously at that time it's not a great moment you're going through, but it's kind of it's made you the person you are, it's made you the goalkeeper you are, and enabled you to have the career that you've had through going through those adverse times.
I read like an interesting quote that he said that when they're asking about trusting, because at one point he almost went with the young players, and he said something like, "I'd rather invest in a younger player because then I know that by the age of 24, 25, I'll have the player ready, you know, like with the experience and everything. And then the team might be I might have a team for like longer period of time."
So
I think there's something in a way that he trusted me until I decided actually that I want to leave the club. But I think even though I didn't play my last 2 years for Arsenal, but I think those were the 2 years that were so important for my development, my last 2 years at Arsenal. So, and I was at the time where 26, 27. Yeah. That's when it almost like...
And when you left, obviously you went and signed for Swansea. And I want to talk about Swansea quickly as well, if we can, because I used to hate playing against this Swansea.
Yeah.
Honestly, I used to hate playing against them. But that decision to leave Arsenal, I'd say it sounds a little bit like when it was my time at Manchester United, when I got to the end of being at Man United and I knew it was time to leave. I knew I needed to leave the club. It was too big for me. It was too big at that moment in time. I needed to leave to just try and make my own career away from it, away from all the pressure, away from all the glare. Was that a little bit what was behind the thought process
similar.
For you?
Yeah, very similar. For me, like, the main thing was obviously playing games. Just playing as a number one. And I think that was the reason why I decided to leave Arsenal and wanted to try something new. So obviously changing the environment and everything, going to a lot of, smaller club than... than Arsenal, but yeah, the priority was always playing games.
And you picked a good team to go to, by
no,
the way.
No, but like, to be honest, yeah. And I have to say, I was lucky as well because the goalie coach that was there only for 1 year, his name is Javi Garcia. He's now in Aston Villa with Emi Martinez.
Yeah.
Great guy as well, great goalkeeping coach, very demanding. So I learned a lot from him as well. So it was I was lucky.
That Swansea team, it was that age where I remember they got promoted, and the very first game of the season, I think it was Man City they played. I think they played Man City first game of the season, and Swansea were basically they played like Man City, didn't they? They play out from the back. They play passing football.
Yes,
and I remember they got absolutely battered by Man City. Man City showed them how to do it properly. It was 6-0, 5-0, something like that anyway. And everybody was, no, Swansea, you can't do this, all right? You need to change the way you play. It's not going to work. Roberto Martinez, was he the manager at the time?
I think it might have been Roberto Martinez. Brendan Rodgers.
Was it not Gary Monk, no?
With
no,
me was Gary Monk. When I signed was Gary Monk.
Okay, yeah, sorry. I was
but
talking
before
about...
when, like you said,
I think
when they
it
got
was Roberto Martinez, yeah. And I think, and everyone said, no, you're going to have to change the way you play. That can't work. It won't work. Very quickly it turned around and they became the team that everybody hated playing because they would religiously stick to it,
Arsenal.
Playing out from the back.
Arsenal. Oh, my God. Every always, time. Always. Like, every it was time. So bad. Home or away. Always.
In a way. They would show teams how to play football. Yeah, yeah. This little team from Wales would show Premier League, proven Premier League teams how to play football out from the back. It was so good.
What talk to us about the lifestyle changes. So you've gone from London... to Swansea.
Yeah, wet and windy. it was, obviously very small place comparing to, when you compare that to London. But I think the nature and like the Gower Coast and everything around there is like just beautiful. I think the only minus the issue is the weather.
The weather, yeah.
Yeah, it's,
that's why it's so green though.
Yeah, but I read somewhere that it's top 10 wettest places in the world.
Really?
Yeah. So imagine, like, you know, you wake up raining, you know. Like,
and did you enjoy kind of living in the community?
Yeah, I really. No, the people are great. Seriously, like the Swansea, the people that live in Swansea, like, amazing. And I mean, not only the people that work for the club, but just like the local community, really, really good. So, for me personally, for my family as well, was a really good time. Really, really good time. I think coming like from London, where everything's like big, pacey, rushing, and then suddenly like slowing down, the training ground is just there, the stadium is just there.
Nah, that's nice.
Yeah, so you had really time to relax, you know. It was so different. So I think it was a great decision.
I think people forget how well Swansea did. So in your first season, you finished 8th in the Premier League. Then it was 12th, 15th, and then eventually they got relegated in 2017, 2018 season. And something we spoke about on the train, Ben, wasn't it, about how stressful it is when you're in that relegation fight. And you spoke about it.
How many times?
Five.
That's another record.
genuinely, I am the most relegated Premier League player. I promise you.
I think Rambo's
up there.
Quite close to
Rambo. Yeah, but Rambo's at the good teams now.
He's at the other end of the table now.
But I am the most relegated Premier League player. Oh, that's not nice, is it? Come on.
So that's why you're stressed, Ben.
No, but it's not nice. It's not nice to be involved like in this situation when you try to like avoid relegation. Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's brutal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is brutal. Yeah.
And when they got relegated, one thing kind of I wanted to know, and I'm sure people will at home, is you're kind of like established, prime, really good goalkeeper at this point. And at what point when they get relegated do you start thinking, right, I need to get back to the Premier League now? So how quickly did that conversation happen with your agent?
For me at that time, because like I was straight after we finished the season, I had to meet up with the national team and we had World Cup in 2018, in Russia. So kind of I'm still like thinking of football because I have to. And I think... it actually happened pretty quick. So I think when I was with national team in Russia, I've signed the contract while I was there with the with West Ham. Yeah, so kind of it happened quickly, in my case. But it's not like, I was approached quite quickly as well. So it happened naturally. It wasn't like I went and said like to my agent or something like, listen. No, let's start to do the business. I think sometimes, especially with the clubs relegated, I think the other teams are looking at them and thinking...
Oh, they know.
Yeah, they know. Yeah. Okay, they know, you know, which players they would maybe, you know.
Who were the goalies at West Ham at the time?
It was Adrian and and Joe Hart was on loan.
Oh,
yeah.
Adrian and Joe Hart.
Lucas, one thing I wanted to ask about was your agent. Mm-hmm. What kind of relationship do you have with your agent? Because, Ben, your old agent used to be a player, used to be a goalkeeper, so you could have some goalie chat. What about yourself?
My agent. So he has a completely different background.
Yeah.
So he used to work for Adidas.
Oh, did he? Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's why they're taking a piece from me, like at the training ground when I have all the Adidas gear. And, like,
you're the first one for all
the new stuff. So he used to work for Adidas, and he was actually dealing with the bigger players.
Yeah.
So he had like Messi's and I don't know Beckham's in the past, okay. Things like that. Yeah. And then he decided to make a small agency. The relationship we have really good. I think the main thing. The way we try to work with the club, basically, is always to be honest and very, how do you say, transparent?
Open,
very open about everything, very honest, and I think that's why I don't want to say successful, but I think that's why we have a really good relationship, not only between each other, but I think with all the clubs that we worked. So I think with Swansea as well. I remember when I got approached by West Ham, and we spoke with the chairman, Hugh Jenkins from Swansea, and he wasn't doing any issues, problems with me, letting me go. He basically said, like, because of the way we work and the way I was for Swansea, he's just happy for me to, you know.
Yeah, go. Yeah. Keep playing Premier League football.
And over here is the same. We are very, like, we don't try to, I don't know.
Yeah. Play games.
Do dodgy things and stuff. No, we're very honest about things always. Yeah.
I like that. Imagine that. Yep. Imagine that. An agent and a footballer who actually do it properly. It's lovely.
No, it's lovely. I'm pretty sure that there are some things, maybe happened that I'm not aware of. But from what I've heard, even when I speak with some people that work behind the scenes for the club, they always mention, like, Thorsten, his name is Thorsten, like...
As a good guy.
Yeah, as a good guy. So I think that's
he's okay. Doing a good job.
It goes a long way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Quick fires, Benny boy?
We're nearly there, Lucas. Once again, thank you for coming on. I knew I was looking forward to this for a reason, and that's the reason why. We just got a few quick fire questions for you, my mate. See how you get on with some of these, all right?
All right.
What is your bucket list sporting event as a fan?
Ooh, NBA Finals.
NBA Finals.
Little Jamie will be fist pumping in the back there. He's a big NBA fan.
Yeah. Who's your idol growing up? Sporting idol?
Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Big NBA fan.
Or from football, Roberto Baggio.
The ponytail.
Italian 90. Yeah. Oh, Baggio. Poof.
Was it 90? No, 94. He missed the penalty.
That was the World Cup in 1994. Yeah.
What a player, though.
Oh, what a player, yeah. What advice would you give to a young Lucas?
Oh, I would give so much. I have this thing. I don't know if that's because of the age when you get older. And if you think of your past, especially when I joined Arsenal, the things that would change, but like, you know, you would have to know them, yeah?
Yeah.
But because of the experiences, I got to learn them when I was older, but I think if I would know things that I know now...
Back then,
oh my God.
Cooking.
Oh my God.
And what about...
it would be a doddle.
A doddle.
Football and life would be a doddle.
Oh my God. Arsenal legend, I would be.
And what about any phobias? Anything you're kind of really scared of? Or
phobias? Oh, I don't like the scans.
Oh,
when you go in, like, you know, the
MRI scans.
MRI scans.
Oh, the MRI scans.
Oh,
are brutal,
my God.
By the
way, but when you get your
shoulders,
and you have to go all the way in.
If you're on a head first.
No, I have panic attacks.
It's true.
It happens to me. Yeah,
claustrophobia, it's called. It's called claustrophobia. And it is,
but only in MRI scans. Oh. Any other, like, small space, like lifts, elevators, I'm okay. But MRI scan, I'm like, before I'm not like, let's say that something happened to me in training and they tell me, oh, you have to go MRI scan. I'm like,
No. It's fine.
Seriously, it's fine. No.
Right, honestly, I never had a problem with any of this. Never, right? No. I had one a couple of years ago and it was a forward facing one. So you have to lie down like Superman, And I think I even had to have my arm.
No way.
Is it that tight?
It's that tight.
It's just small. It's small.
So you're lying down in the Superman pose, right? And I wasn't claustrophobic whatsoever. Okay. And then it hit me that I am enclosed.
Yeah.
And I'm the same as you.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had a full-on panic attack, but I definitely had something.
You didn't like it?
But, you know, like, I remember...
Sweating.
The first time it happened to me, I, like... No, because they give you this little thing, yeah? To
yeah, emergency, case, so, yeah.
And I, for some reason, I lost it somewhere. And I started, like, to kick my... So, you know, my legs are, like, there, like, shaking. And suddenly someone runs into, like, what's happening? I was like, no, get
where's
me
my
out.
Thing?
Get me out. Like, I can't do it. Yeah.
Oh, you'd still never press it, though. I'd still never press it. Even if I'm having a panic attack, I'd be like, I'm cool, I'm fine.
Oh, really?
I'm safe.
I hate it.
One for you. Does Lukas Fabianski have any secret talents, any secret skills?
Oh, I don't know if they're secret.
No.
Like
party trick or anything?
No, I don't have
computer games. You're playing the computer games?
No, not really. No. I used to play, but not anymore. No,
okay.
No.
And then here's a good one we do like to ask. Out of all the players you've played with in your career, mm-hmm. who would you most like to have on your team in a quiz?
In a quiz? So like the...
The clever one.
Yeah.
The clever ones. Oh, that's a good question.
We've got quite a low... Over the months, we've got quite a low bar, haven't we?
The fact that every time we ask a footballer this question, they have to go, oh,
it doesn't sound...
Let me have a think.
I saw him reading a book once.
No, okay. Philip Senderos.
I'll
go with Philip Senderos.
I've heard that, actually. I've heard that.
Okay, I'll go with him. Yeah.
And who would you not want on your team? Who is the one player that, in particular, you would
from
say...
From the recent ones?
Yeah.
Said Benrahma.
Yeah, I could get that. I could see that. Without saying it, I could see that. Yeah. And then finally, best player you played with?
With?
Some good players.
Yeah.
That's heavy. Oh, I don't know. Jesus.
Right, best player you played against. That's going to be the next
question. Yeah, it's still just as hard.
No, but... I'm going to come back to the player I play, the best.
Yeah.
I don't think he reached his level yet, but I think Declan Rice is really
okay. I like that.
I think he's really on his way. Like, even when I watched him yesterday, oh my God,
lovely,
he looks so good.
Just lovely,
he really so good, yeah.
That is...
I think he can actually...
How old is Declan Rice now? 24, I think.
I don't know, but the way he's like just...
Yeah,
each year getting better and better.
To be 24 years old,
25,
right?
Just turned 25,
and to be that in control of everything, like everything.
Yeah.
The way he sees the game, the way he carries himself, the way
he moves around a pitch.
It's just it's special, isn't it?
Yeah, don't get me. I play like with Cesc and everything, but I think they were at the prime maybe when I played with them. But I think Declan, like I started playing with him in 2018. And he became regular, and like you could see how like he's growing when it comes to football terms, like amazing. So
wow, okay.
I remember him scoring a 30-yarder past me.
I remember that was a big game as well.
It was a big
game.
That
was a squeaky bum time game.
Yeah, well done. It was. We got battered. Watford, we got battered. We got absolutely. It was a big game.
That was an empty stadium.
It was, yeah. COVID.
It was an empty stadium.
Yeah.
When was the last time you two played against each other? Would it have been at the...
Watford, for sure.
Olympic.
Yeah, Watford, yeah.
I think Jared scored a deflection. You lost evening game.
Evening game at away, yeah? In the winter, in the winter time.
Yeah.
I was like...
I can't remember. I deflection. Used to be so good at
I remember you made like great save. I think it was against Jazz. He cut inside with his lefty.
Oh, onto the post, yeah.
On the post.
I
was
an
amazing save. I remember that. Yeah.
The goalie love on this episode.
Yeah, I know.
What a guy. I told you I was looking forward to this one, and it didn't disappoint. Lucas, honestly, once again, mate, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The goalie pods
me.
Are the best.
Cheers.
And up the Fozcast. Cheers, mate. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Thanks, everybody, for watching. We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of the Fozcast. Don't forget to give us a follow on Spotify. Up the Fozcast.